Hey, Jacob.
Yeah, Casey.
What does a band composed of four misfits, one a superstar of his high acclaim, and a Guantanamo Bay detention center composed of detainees and military guards, one of a small town girl with issues of empathy, have in common?
I don't know, Casey. What do they have in common?
Let's find out.
Yeah, let's make
the movie connection.
And we are back. Woo! Welcome in, everybody. Hello, I am Jacob.
And I'm Casey.
Welcome to the podcast called The Movie Connection, where we take two different movies, sometimes very different, sometimes not so different, and we compare them, we contrast them, we review them, we pick them apart for you guys and everything.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the show, we try to find what connects them, because, you know, the results will surprise you.
Right.
It usually surprises us. Like, this is four episodes in. Welcome to episode four.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris. we have managed to find some form of connection to every movie so far. And I will say, and I, like, week to week, like, the stakes, like, the differences keep getting more and more, you know?
It's so fascinating.
Like, Palm Springs and Raising Arizona was episode one, and that
makes, was pretty different.
Like, easy.
Yeah.
Well, it was, like, easy, because they're, like, two locations.
Right.
So it had...
It had that going for it. Yeah. This, however...
Like, I was worried. I was like, I don't know how the hell.
I'm curious what you found, because I literally was picking my brain apart trying to think of something.
I mean, they are, like, it's more fun to actually acknowledge how different
these are. So different. Yeah.
Here, that helps. I sound like I'm coming right at you guys. Doesn't it sound like I'm in the left? All right. Anyway, maybe that'll help. Okay. Anyway. So, yeah. So the movies we watched. So I watched Bohemian Rhapsody.
Woohoo!
Very recent movie. Casey, what did you watch?
Camp X-Ray. With Kristen Stewart.
And that one, everybody's probably like, what? Is that a movie? Like, I've never even heard of that. One kind of flew under the radar,
you know? It did. It's a pretty indie film, and it was the first film that Kristen Stewart did after Twilight, guys.
Damn, yeah. See? Like, crazy. Like,
it's so
2014,
crazy.
I think?
Yeah. Fun thing to know about that.
Wait, the first Twilight?
No, after Breaking Dawn. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
So the last
good,
Twilight.
Good. That makes sense.
They actually
had... See, I was going to say, it's like, because she's actually, like, acting better.
Yeah, they actually had Ali, at one point, he was supposed to make reference to Twilight.
Oh, you're going there already. All right.
And they had to cut it out because they cast Kristen Stewart. Yeah. So I thought that was pretty fun.
I wish they would have at least, like, touched on the book because she plays the librarian at one point in it. I wish, like, that would have just been one of the
books. Do you have the Twilight?
Yeah.
That would have been amazing.
Or, like, just seen it, something like that. But I don't
blame
her. Do you
have any about vampires? Like, that would have been funny.
I don't blame her, though. Like, being Kristen Stewart, I wouldn't allow that shit. Like,
yeah,
especially
she hates
coming
Twilight.
Off of Breaking Dawn. Oh, just in general. Yeah, that's
good. She doesn't like it.
Good for her. Good for her.
But, like, yeah, especially the last one. She thought it was ridiculous.
For sure. I think it's my turn to start.
Do it.
So we like to start off with our own little personal synopses. Or in this case, synopsis, because this is mine. It's singular.
It's just
Okay, so my movie, Bohemian Rhapsody. It follows the meteoric rise to fame of Freddie Mercury and tracks his journey, starting with him as a young aspiring performer who manages to find a home in a band composed of Brian May, the guitarist. Roy Taylor? What the fuck? Roger Taylor, sorry. Like, wow, I can't even read my own handwriting.
Yeah, it's bad.
Roger Taylor. who is the drummer, and then eventually John Deacon on bass, who is kind of the butt monkey.
Yes.
And is played by the kid from Jurassic Park, who that seems to be his thing. It's just like, we're gonna shock you, you know?
Yeah.
And later on, you're gonna do a movie called Star Kid, where you're gonna think that you are the kid in the suit, but no, we're gonna use a stunt double. Check out that episode in Disney Channel Surfers.
It's fascinating.
And I would be remiss not to mention Rami Malek of Mr. Robot fame is taking on the task of playing Freddie Mercury in all his flamboyant, driven, and phenomenally talented glory. A lot of the typical band movie tropes pop up. I mean, the band struggles to find support, they stand out for their eclectic approach to music, and Freddie leads the story because any story involving Freddie Mercury will inevitably become about Freddie Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
We also dip into the controversial questioning of Freddie's sexuality, always a point of contention given the time in which the band found itself and all the shifts in the societal mores that have come along in the years since. With that comes a turbulent relationship with Freddie and his wife, Mary Austin, Freddie and the bandmates, and Freddie and the public.
Yeah.
Eventually, we are treated to the historic Live Aid concert, where the band would perform a knockout show after a hiatus apart. Things get sad when we realize that what awaits Freddie when he leaves the stage. Also, a badass soundtrack, of course.
Fuck yes. Soundtrack is so good.
So there, I do want to talk a little bit about, so, I mean, this is a genre. It's become a genre.
Biopics.
Well, not just biopics, because you can have biopics about celebrities and authors.
Right.
But this, specifically band biopics, I think are an animal in and of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Biopics share the same stuff, but it's always like, you know, you always have the, you gotta have the band eventually almost coming to blows shot, like, yeah,
right,
like you always have these same things pop
there's
up.
Definitely stuff like in this movie that was put in out of order for storytelling purposes.
Oh yeah.
And also like the band didn't have that big
combined
breakup before you know, they didn't have that in real life. Like,
yeah, no.
They just had solo careers and then they worked together. They put an album out.
Yeah, right, it really wasn't like that kind of situation for them. They didn't have that tiff. Like,
right.
Some bands legitimately do. But,
I get it.
Yeah, for sure. And then there's the question of like, do you use, like, most of the time you try to cast somebody who can actually do the job of the singing.
Mm-hmm.
Joaquin Phoenix sang Johnny Cash for that Walk the Line movie, like stuff like that. But then you have some times where it's like, no, I mean, we can't, like, it's too,
his voice is so iconic.
And it would be fucked up for them to do that. Like, as impressive as it would have been for Rami Malek to, like, do it, like, no, Freddie Mercury, it's one voice. Like,
yeah, it's his voice. And they blended.
And I heard that. That's kind of weird. Like, three voices is weird. Like, two, I understood.
It is so weird, but yeah. Because
they did. They had a Canadian a guy who's frequently has
for
a cover. He does covers of Queen songs. And he is. He's pretty good. He's pretty close.
He's great, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's not Freddie.
Exactly. So.
And Freddie, like, he could hit, you know, at least three octaves, and in some cases four, which is, like, crazy.
Yeah.
So his voice is very unique. Like, you know his voice the second you hear it, you know? So I'm really grateful that they didn't do that, too.
Yeah.
Because it would have definitely changed everything.
Yeah, so I was glad that they did do that. Now, and it doesn't take away from Rami Malek at all, because he still did the work. He's still singing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's still, like, on set. It's not like I think he did the training. Like, you know, he really went
for
it.
He did, and he studied.
You have to. Like, it, you know. So that's why, like, and so his job was, he did a good job at what
he did.
He did. And, like, I think, ideally, you walk away from these movies hoping at some point at least you felt like, oh, this person who I wish I always could have seen is dead, but I feel like I kind of saw them. And I think Rami Malek kind of achieved that. Like, especially, like, Live Aid, like, didn't they do shot for shot, right?
Yes.
Like, I think I've seen that, the comparison.
So amazing.
That flooded the internet. Because it is. It's spot on.
Yeah, they did a fantastic job. And the Live Aid stage, there was no blueprints for that, so they actually had to create that based on video and photos.
And I knew the second, like, you know, the Live Aid concert is the climax, of course. Like,
yeah.
You got to end with the Live Aid concert. I would encourage, I need to look it up because everybody says, like, yeah, it's good and all, but no, you want to see the real thing.
Yeah,
I agree.
It's
like, you know,
yeah.
There's no denying that, of course.
A lot of awesome musicians sang there.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney.
A lot of good
Elton
ones.
John.
Holy fuck. the second I saw the Pepsi cups on the piano, I was like, oh, man, they did. Like, that was what tipped me off. It's like, oh, they went for, okay, they're going for, like, for sure, like, shot for, like, they
yes.
went into the archives and was like, okay, and there were fucking Pepsi cups on there. Like, make sure, like, I bet they, like, if there was a hole in the stage, you're like, no, put that fucking hole there.
Put the hole there, man.
Put it there.
We want this to be exact.
Now, Bryan Singer, the director, or one of the directors,
right.
We'll get into that. apparently, this is weird. The Live Aid concert was the first thing they did. That's crazy.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was the first thing they did.
That's shocking.
That's crazy. Yeah. And apparently, it was the biggest set that he ever had to deal with, like that director Bryan Singer, who directed such movies as, you know, The Usual Suspects and a couple of the X-Men movies, mostly the bad ones.
Okay.
I see. I mean, the dude directed Last Stand, you know, I don't care if you directed Days of Future Past, which was decent in passing. No, you still made Last Stand.
Right.
And that's just crazy because, like, yeah, he did those X-Men movies, so that's a big set. And, you know, it looked big, but I don't know, maybe I'm weird, but I feel like I've seen bigger sets like than the Live Aid stage, but, you know, what do I know? Some notes that I just want to get out of. So, Bryan Singer, yeah, we mentioned. So, there was, like, did you hear about the troubled production of this?
So, I know they had another person that was supposed to play Freddy. I cannot remember his name.
Oh, not even. So, yeah, it was going to be Sacha Baron Cohen, who is Bo Rat. I feel like he would have been a little too old.
Too old, and, like, they had said that there was some clashing there because he, like, wanted to try to play it more funny.
Oh.
And it would have.
See, it would have hit the wrong note.
Yeah, like, it would have flunked.
You can't do that. Yeah, and I, frankly, like, the association would already have tainted the waters a little bit because people, I don't know. I feel like, yeah, you'd be playing with fire there. It's like, it's already kind of problematic because now I don't want to assume Rami Malek's sexuality or anything. I think, no, he's dating the actress who plays his wife, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah. I think they met on set and fell in love. Makes sense. Oh, they have awesome chemistry.
They do.
So it's already kind of controversial because Rami Malek, I don't think, identifies as gay. So right there, you already...
He's dating her.
Okay. Right there, you already have that. Add to that, like, it's Sacha Baron Cohen, known for his comedic, like, satires and stuff. It's like, no, give us our serious Freddie Mercury movie. Like, yeah. But Bryan Singer, no, he, was frequently late. And this dude's got a history of drug problems and stuff.
Oh, I did hear about
that. He claimed that it was, like, family issues and stuff like that, but who knows? Like, it was enough for producers to eventually, like, cut ties, be like, you know what? Nope, bring in the guy who's going to be directing Rocket Man and finish this bad boy.
Right.
Which is perfect. Actually, perfect.
It,
like,
works out well, yeah.
Pick that guy, for sure. I do want to check out Rocket Man because of this.
Me too. I want to watch it so bad.
And see, again, there's those different approaches, right? To, like...
Because it's, like, more of a fantastical and kind of trippy, which I think will be really fun with Elton John's music.
More of a jukebox musical, but heavy on the biopic, because jukebox musicals don't always involve the actual member, like, people. But it looks like they actually make the musical numbers, as opposed to this, where it's like, no, it comes out of the moment, and it's playing in the background or something.
Right.
So it is interesting for that, but this genre I'm noticing, I think I'm getting over it, though, because they always kind of go the same way, you know?
It is sort of like a rom-com, like, you pretty much know the formula.
Yeah, for sure, actually. Yeah,
and you kind of want it to change it up, and that's exciting when that happens.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, what is the one that they just did of the Beatles one? I mean, it isn't a biopic because it's not actually about the Beatles, but you know which one I'm talking about.
Across the Universe.
Yesterday.
Oh, yesterday. Yeah, see, boom.
That,
yeah.
like, changes see, the formula
see,
a bit.
See, now that I like, yeah. And right. see, now that's a little more jukebox musical-ish. Like,
it
yeah,
is, it
yeah.
is. Uh-huh.
And that's good, though. Like, I like that. Like, that's the way to keep it fresh. Like, take bands, take albums that we love, and just, yeah, build movies off of that. That's a little better.
Or tell a different story. Like, we all know the story of, like, a band getting together exactly. and then a band yeah. breaking up and then getting back
getting
together.
Back together. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
John Reed, who played the Littlefinger in Game of Thrones, is here. He plays their original producer that eventually gets tossed out of that limo
right.
or whatever, thanks to that sneaky little Paul or whatever his name was. I think it was Paul, yeah.
Paul, mm-hmm.
Mike Myers has a connection to this. One, he plays, like, again, one of the producer guys. But here's the thing. It's an interesting connection because Mike Myers did Wayne's World. Wayne's World 2 or one,
yes.
or is it 1? Shit.
I think it was 1.
Shit.
I think.
I think it is 1. Yeah. Okay. Wayne's World 1 has an infamous scene where they do the headbanging
yes.
to the song Bohemian Rhapsody. Honestly, that's... I think it's most of our introductions to Bohemian... Or some of us.
Like, a lot of us,
some
sure.
of us, it was our introduction to Bohemian Rhapsody.
And Mike Myers had to fight for that.
Yep. He fought for it and everything like that. Yeah. He wasn't going to do the movie if they didn't have that in there.
Yeah.
He
strong-armed him, which was cool.
Good deal.
Good for him.
Because it's a great scene.
It's a great scene. It's a kick-ass song. Like.
And so they offered him this part, and he didn't even hesitate. It's like, oh, it's Bohemian Rhapsody. It's like, oh, fuck, I'm in. Like.
Yeah. And that...
It's Wayne's an interesting
World,
connection.
By
yeah.
the way, too, like, made Bohemian Rhapsody
yep.
go to the
go
top
back
of the
up
charts.
Again.
Yeah.
And
which
it'll
was
probably
cool.
And it probably did it again because of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Sure.
For sure. Like, you know. Queen, is, like, can we just take a second to acknowledge, like,
yes.
Queen is one of the greatest bands of all time.
Yes.
Because they're so eclectic. Like, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, and at the same time, it's still a Queen song. And
ugh,
that's a sign of a good band.
Seriously, my first, like, introduction into, like, loving my own kind of music was you and me listening to Queen and, like,
yeah.
singing their songs and, like, making
we
pretend
did,
music
we,
videos.
Yep,
and...
We did Queen Dancers. We were called the Queen Dancers. And
yeah.
thank God, like, you know, like, yeah, we were cool little kids. 'Cause, yeah, and especially given, like, it was mostly dudes in that group.
Yeah.
And they
me.
Were totally fucking comfortable with, like, it's like, okay, we're going to be the Queen Dancers. Let's throw. Yeah, right. And Casey.
And
we're going to throw on this music. Let's just dance. And really, it was just therapeutic, I felt like.
Oh
we
my
just,
God. We had so much fun doing it. And,
just,
like,
yeah.
the music is totally. Like, every song. Yes. It is a banger. And it's like you're having so much fun. And you do let out so much energy.
Yeah.
Every song's good to dance to. Every song's good to sing to.
And they're cinematic. Like, that's what we
so
discovered. It's
cinematic.
Like, these
yeah.
kind of tell a story.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, we had, like, a whole dance routine we did to Killer Queen, which was really
sure.
fun. God.
So stupid. Really simple steps. None of, kids, nothing
yeah.
impressive, but still fun.
We
like,
had
that's
so much
thing.
Fun. I would put on a feather boa.
Yeah. Yes. See, it's awesome. Queen is a... uniter.
Definitely.
Okay. Here's the oh yeah, I had to get this out of the way. Okay, no David Bowie, what the fuck are you doing, movie? Huh? What is this? What the fuck is this?
That's valid.
That's my scene that doesn't exist in the movie, but I fucking wrote it in my mind and it was amazing.
Yeah, that's valid.
No David Bowie. And I think the problem is, like, and you, I kind of love them for it also because, like, you can't put David Bowie and Freddie Mercury in a movie together because they're going to kill each other.
The
for,
world is going to implode.
For dominance, because David Bowie will come on and it's like, oh, I'm going to take over this movie real quick. And Freddie Mercury is like, oh,
no,
darling. yeah. And, but I still would have, I mean, I feel robbed of that.
It would have been great.
It would have been beautiful. It could have
been
cool.
Great. Yeah.
But I understand not wanting to include it also.
Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword because it's like, God, if we nailed it, but if you don't nail it.
Right.
Then we hate you.
Right.
So it is tricky. But yeah, I did say no, David Bowie. What the fuck? The kid from Jurassic Park, I already mentioned he plays John Deacon. What the hell? Like, I knew the kid looked familiar, too. Like, I was like,
yeah,
that looks familiar.
I honestly didn't know that until just now when you know, earlier when you said it. Like,
isn't that crazy?
It's so funny, too, because going back and watching, like, I remember watching Starkid being like, I really recognize this kid. And you're like, yeah, he's from Jurassic Park. And I'm like, yeah, but also, like, And now I'm like, oh, it's the same person. Yeah. My brain's connecting the two souls.
And it's so weird because he plays a very convincing British dude, actually.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. And that was one note that, you know, normally Brits, like, steal our shit. But this is actually a strong case where it's like, hey, man, Freddie Mercury is played by Rami Malek. And then, yeah, John Deacon is played by an American, the kid from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, totally.
I'm sorry, I don't know his name. He's the kid from Jurassic Park.
That's who he is, guys.
That's the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are just the notes I wanted to get out of the way. Do you have a Q&A for me?
I've got them ready.
Queries?
We sort of started to cover this, but how do you feel like Raimi did portraying the great Freddie Mercury?
Yeah, I think he really nailed it. Like, he did his work, like, and that was key. It was, they needed to have those teeth, like, that was key. And I love that they told you the reasoning, like,
yeah,
Freddie's reasoning behind it.
He was afraid of losing his one of his octaves or his vocal range, you know?
Yep. And so I love that they covered that. They did that accurate. I was hoping that they would cover that. So yeah. They did it very well. No, I thought he did great. I don't know about Oscar winning, though. He won the Oscar that year for Best Actor.
I thought he was excellent, personally.
I mean, I guess, yeah.
Because there are certain
points
you forget.
It's also awesome that he was like the first... I don't want to get the... ethnicity wrong here.
He's Egyptian.
Okay. Egyptian to earn an Academy Award. So historic, like amazing.
One of the prime minister people from Egypt, sorry if I butchered that, you guys. One of them like came out saying like, well, he's portraying gay people and he's like trying to spread homosexuality, and if he were here and he put that movie out, he would be hanged. So, holy shit.
Okay.
Way
to go, Rami Malek.
Yeah. Yikes.
Hanged. For what? Anyway.
Yeah. So, awesome. Sucks. I'm glad you think he did a good job, too. Yeah. I thought he did really well. Great. He, like, studied Freddie, and he studied... they had him study Liza Minnelli for part of, like, the flair.
Well, because
flair.
That is who Freddie studied.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, kind of fun.
He had a movement coach for this shit. That's... Wow.
Yeah.
Shit.
So next question. You and I, we have a big history with Queen and their music. Yeah. It helped shape us.
Don't ask it. Don't go there. Where you go? Okay, go ahead.
And it probably really affected our taste in music. Do you feel like this movie portrayed that effect with the fans that they showcased in the movie as well?
You know, actually, no, not enough. So it was pretty paint by the numbers when it came to the song. It's like, okay, greatest hits. We got to hit them. And they kind of sprinkled it throughout. Like, that was something missing. Like, that was actually what was lacking is
like,
the connection between
see,
him and the fans.
Right, because you got to see some of the fanfare, and you got to see him with his friends.
Yeah.
But you didn't get to see, like, the way that it affected the culture
Because the culture at the time was going through huge shift.
Such a big shift, yeah. And I feel like Queen's music was actually a huge part of that shift, and I don't think that they, like, hit on that enough.
Right. The closest it got was when they acknowledged, like, it's like, no, we need to get into the disco scene.
Right.
With Another One Bites the Dust.
Right.
Who would have thought that that's the origin of, that's what gave us Another One Bites the Dust? Like, you hear Another One Bites the Dust, I don't think disco, but then...
No.
But when you really look at it, it's like, okay, I guess that disco riff.
How fun was them recording the Bohemian Rhapsody? Like, how fun was
that
scene?
Fun.
That's great.
Well, that was, yeah, I loved that bit.
Me too, it was so fun. And they did, like... try so much random shit in there to make those sounds and the different things.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a fun and crazy.
I like that they showed that.
They like taped it so many times that the tape was almost clear.
Yeah. That's apparently a big historic thing, like infamous fun fact about that recording.
So crazy.
I didn't realize.
I love it.
Yeah, definitely.
Galileo. let's see. So this movie got some criticism from all kinds of sides about Freddie's sexuality. You know, some people, they didn't want it to be the focus of the film. They really wanted you to kind of ignore it.
Fair enough.
And then some people really wanted it to be the main focus and didn't feel like it was represented enough.
Yep.
Much like real life Freddie Mercury on his own sexuality. Because Freddie was really private about it.
Yeah, right.
But there were gay people in the community that were like, we need you to be our advocate and our voice. And he was like, I just want this to be my private life.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think? I guess I just wanted to talk about it.
And so speaking, first and foremost, like, you know, I am not of that community.
Right.
I have a lot of friends who are and everything like that. And
same.
People I respect of that community and all that. That being said, I feel like this was groundbreaking in some ways to have this portrayal. Like, we're entering a new phase where now we're going to start seeing movies, you know, representation matters.
Yes.
You make this movie in the 90s, it's even more watered down. Probably no hints of it.
Right.
Like, he's going to be flamboyant and that's what you get. Like,
right.
You know, but no shenanigans. Make it in the 80s, less so. 70, like, you
right.
know, less
right.
and less
You're right.
and less.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've made progress. Now, everybody, like, and especially, it doesn't help that it's Freddie Mercury. Everybody had in mind what they wanted out
everybody
of a Freddie Mercury movie.
Everybody had their own version of him, right?
Yeah.
Like, because he means different things to different people in different parts of our community.
And especially the gay community. Of course the gay community.
Of
he's
course.
An icon.
Yeah.
And, like, you know,
he's
and I understand I understand that people who feel like, yeah, robbed of it.
Of course.
Because they do kind of... It isn't handled with kid gloves in the same way a lot of other, like, gay characters are, though. I feel like they did hardcore acknowledge it. They have an entire conversation about
right.
it. I think people are being a little, like, you know, just precious when they, like... It's like, yeah, it's not enough. It's like, well... It's the same thing that Lin-Manuel Miranda is getting into now.
Right.
It's like, it's never going to be enough. And the problem is we live in a very media saturated society.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see those stories because they're sensational. Like at the
yeah.
end of the day, hey, like they did good, but we're going to get more. So don't worry about it. And like, sorry. And it's valid that, you know, sorry that it wasn't represented to its fullest maybe, but you know, again, we're just going to do better.
Yeah.
We're
I think just it's just
better.
Like one of those things too. Like, you know, I understand the criticism. I am also
Absolutely.
Like not part of that community, but I support it. And I have friends that are,
mm-hmm.
and I love them and I support them.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I do think that Freddie, like, had that side of his personality as well where he wanted to keep it private. So
oh,
I
right.
feel,
so I
like,
think that,
too,
yeah.
like, it all comes down to the person and their preference, right?
Yeah.
And it's sort of that question that we are really seeing right now is, like, when you're a famous person, like, how much of an advocate do you need to be for certain things? And, you know,
Mm-hmm.
like, do you need to use your platform? Which is a question
There is a
so,
responsibility of
right?
power. When it comes to celebrities, unfortunately, like, I think we got to get more comfortable with that because, like, we acknowledge that there are power dynamics
right.
here. So, like...
And I think that if it were now and Freddie was alive and he was famous right now, it would be different.
Yeah.
But it was the time, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And I feel like the movie did showcase enough, like, his heartbreak and his love for, Mary. Yes. Because
mm-hmm.
he loved her so much that
Definitely.
He left
he,
his
like,
estate to
took
her
that to
and...
his, like, grave. Yeah, to
yes.
his dying days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, he never wavered on that. So it wasn't, like, the typical case of, like, yeah. Again, they love to say it's like, well,
it's a really
you had
complicated.
A wife. Yeah.
It's
you had
so
a wife
complicated.
To hide and all
yeah.
that stuff. But no, I think, they could have done more, but they did plenty.
I think they could have done more, but I think they did enough, especially...
Yeah.
Because you do kind of, like, it's really hard. You
oh,
wanna
and
think
it's Oscar
about...
bait. Sorry, guys. And also, it's Oscar bait. So, yeah, unfortunately, you got to appeal to the shitty human beings. Who you go one too many, you know, one too many of those scenes and, yeah.
And you're out.
Then you're out. But.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
All right, now our favorite questions. What's your favorite scene?
All right, favorite scene. I mean, easy answer, Live Aid, but I think that's kind of a cheat. So
Cop
yeah,
out.
The, right.
Oh, sorry, that's what I thought of that.
But second favorite scene was probably the conversation with his wife about the entire thing.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, that was really touching and really well done. And
hard
just
to watch
really,
and
yeah.
good, though, gritty,
like,
kind
like,
of,
oh,
you know,
God,
a little bit.
Oh, God, how far are you going to go? It's like, and they went pretty far. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So good for them. Yeah, that scene probably, yeah.
That's a great scene.
Recording of Bohemian Rhapsody is fun, too, though.
It is really fun. Favorite performance?
Favorite performance, so Rami Malek kills it, but, oh, yeah, we're going to have to start adding a favorite performance by a supporting character.
Okay.
Or characters.
Supporting character.
Yeah, yeah. And it was the drummer. Who is that actor, actually? Let's look him up.
Yeah, let's
quick.
Look him up.
Batman. Bohemian Rhapsody movie.
My kitten is so cute and sleepy right now.
He's a cat.
He is a cat.
Ben Hardy. I wonder if he's related to Tom Hardy, first off. Let's see.
Google it. Google it.
Soap opera EastEnders.
Soap opera?
EastEnders. It's like the British soap opera.
Well, it sounds like something I need to watch.
Oh, God. Yeah, probably.
I think I would love it. I love British television.
You know they're doing a sequel to Downton Abbey movie.
So, fun fact, haven't seen the first Downton Abbey movie, although I've watched all six seasons of the show multiple times. I need to watch that movie.
Yeah. So, he is played by Ben Hardy. What the hell?
That's my cat. Right,
the cat. Ben Hardy as the drummer Roger Deakins. I thought his performance was pretty damn
excellent,
great.
He was excellent, yeah.
And I liked his clashing with Freddie. That was good, good dynamic.
It was, yeah.
And yeah, I thought that was great.
Awesome.
So he was good. Yeah.
Would you rewatch / recommend?
I will probably rewatch it. I really got to be in the mood because it's a little long. That's another note
long.
I would give.
It's like sort of leaves you in a heavy note, which you know it will, but because we all know Freddy's fate.
Yes.
And so it sort of leaves you feeling like that pit in your stomach, kind of sad.
Yeah.
But if you're in
the right
headspace.
I would recommend it, though.
Yeah.
The production, the shitty production really bugs me. Because in the end, Bryan Singer gets all the credit, you know?
Right.
And it's just, it's
kind of
shitty.
And he only did what? Half the work?
Well,
not
no,
even?
He did do most
okay,
of it.
Okay, he did.
You know, because, like, the other director came in for, I think, 2 weeks max.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But he did then handle all the post-production stuff. And that's not easy.
Right.
I think the first scene he did was actually the scene where the band is formed. So he actually got one of the good scenes.
Hell yeah, that's an awesome scene.
And it is a real good one. Yeah. And so yeah, I'd recommend it. And just say it, I gave it 3.5 out of 5 stars.
Awesome.
And my review is available on Letterboxd.
Heck yeah.
More on that later. Is that all you had for me?
That's all I got.
Cool. All right, so let's get into your movie, the lesser known.
Camp X-Ray.
Camp X-Ray. Oh, and just real quick, some last minute connections I noticed.
Oh, yes, please.
Shanghai Express is a movie that gets mentioned and alluded to. Top of the Pops, which was an English musical talent program, kind of like our MTV, but for back in the day. Highlander, which was a huge like cult favorite, especially in nerddom. Have you heard of Highlander? It's a show. It's movies.
I have heard of it. I've just seen like a bit of like the movie, and I'm just like, what the fuck?
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's mostly known for its crazy head chopping off stuff.
Yeah, it's
and Queen contributed the theme to it. So people love that theme, and so there is kind of a nod to that in the frequent like close-up shots of Freddy with the aviator sunglasses.
Oh, that's fun.
Apparently that's a big shot from Highlander, so that's kind of fun how they wrangled that in there. And and Wayne's World, of course, has the connection too. So
absolutely,
the connections. Yeah. All right, tell me about Camp X-Ray.
Well, Camp X-Ray is a story about a soldier named Cole who is stationed at a detention camp at Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
I always want to say Guatemala every time I start to see it because my brain...
I think it's in Cuba.
Yes. She befriends one of the facility's longtime detainees, Allie.
Detainees.
This is a movie about humanity, and it just makes you kind of question what side you're on in the end of the day.
Yeah. Good. Kind of timely too, like it was made in 2014, but kind of perfect for now. A little maybe too much, especially the escalations happening in the Middle East. You know, it's real unfortunate. But no, it really, I like that you call it a story of humanity, because I mean it's a military story, but it really does make that the center of the debate, where it's just like, I mean, is this right? Like, you know,
right.
Which military movies don't often do.
And like, you know, I have, and I think a lot of other people too, probably have like heard about these kind of detention camps in other, like, third world countries.
Dude, you told me about those things. I looked it up. It's scary shit.
I'm sorry.
You
want to
know
me?
the depths of the depravity of humans? Yeah, look up those things. Like, it's... the fact that those things exist.
And, like, to get into those in the third world countries, it's usually, like, somebody told somebody that you know something about someone that did something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how easy it is to get put into those things. And, you know, a lot of those people are just totally innocent and know nothing. And they're tortured.
Yeah.
Until, you know, they either confess,
right,
or, you know, turn someone else in,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Wow.
And yeah. So, but this was a lot lesser of a version.
Thank God.
But this still, like, yeah, right, is a horrible thing to do to someone that, you know.
Well, they tell you from the beginning. It's like, I like how they set that up nicely. It's like somebody refers to them as prisoners and they get corrected. It's like, no, 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 no. Don't you call them prisoners. No, they are detainees. And the reasoning, it's like, oh, I wonder, oh, there must be some, like, logical, like, is
why
there,
do
like,
we
a
call
difference?
Them that?
Oh, well, you know, detainees are subject to the Geneva Convention and prisoners are. It's like, oh, cool, yeah, fuck you too. Okay,
yeah,
great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I love how, like, yeah, Cole delivers that, and it's just really, it's matter of fact. I love how, yeah, they call into question a lot of the things I call into question.
Right.
It's great.
And it's really, I'm not, like, the biggest military movie fan.
Yeah. Same. Like, this is close as I
get. But I like this. This, like, really highlighted, too, like, the female experience in the military.
Ah, yeah.
True. In a really good way, because, you know, there's one part in particular where she's, like, making out with a guy, and then he tries to push
that's
things.
That's right. Yeah.
And, you know, she
I
has
think
to,
superior
like...
officer, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And she has to, like, punch him, basically, to get him,
off,
of her.
Yep.
And then
just because he's getting too handsy. I like that it wasn't too...
Right, it didn't
for
go...
For lack of a better word, rapey, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
But it was getting there. Like, you know, it was a very... It was a great depiction of that. Because,
yes, totally.
And it wasn't... It's not... These typically get portrayed the same way. It's always, like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Screaming, and no, she was she initiated in
she
fact
was a
like
willing,
she consented
yeah, a
and then was like, you know what, no, this is kind of a good scene of consent too.
Yes, yeah, totally, because yeah, you're allowed to change your mind, guys.
Yeah.
And she was so drunk, like, yeah, day of day drinking, and she was like, nope, I'm going too far here.
Yeah.
You know,
and he's just too into it. Too,
he was
too
so into
too
it.
Licky.
Very licky. And then there was one
sweaty
other scene, like, closer to the end where she's in her room and, like, you can hear a girl yelling for help or to get off of her. And she shuts her light off and goes to bed.
Oh.
And that's, like, I told Josh, because we watched this together, I was like, well, that's just like a self-preservation thing, because
yeah,
there's like a
right
lot of rape in the military.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of sexual assault. I know I have a friend who was in the military who got sexually assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things that it's your word against his word. And, you know, it's like a super fucked up situation. And the investigations that they do are kind of half-assed, as you can see in this.
Yeah.
No, so it's, ugh.
So
terrible.
Stupid. And see ya. It's a flaw in the system. It's
so
like,
I
and that
like
was
that
another...
they showed that part of it too, though. That's what I was saying. Yeah. And
another thing the movie kind of seems to be about is flaws in the system.
Yes.
Flaws in the system. Okay. So yeah, I think we got. Yeah. Interesting movie.
Very interesting movie.
Kristen Stewart
did awesome.
So, ready for Q&A?
I'm ready.
To my knowledge, this is the first time Kristen Stewart plays a military. Mm-hmm. How do you think she did? Like, was she convincing to you as a military officer?
She was.
Okay.
I think she did really good. She got the hair thing done exactly right, and they painstakingly show you how she does that, too, because that shit hurts to have a pony that tight and a bun that perfect. Like, that hurts your head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she does that. I think she did a really good job of, like, not, you know, there was like that other female in the military as well who was just like really girly when she wasn't on guard, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Kristen Stewart was more of the like, I'm a tough gal and you're gonna take me seriously even though I'm a girl.
Yeah,
like I thought she did a really good job of putting on like what I would call like her bitch face.
Yeah,
and I mean that disrespectfully. Right. You know, she would put on like this really tough face, but you could tell she was nervous about things. Yeah.
Yeah. Because she is from a small town, Florida, unfortunately.
Figures.
Yeah, figures. But yeah, she's Florida. Got that.
But yeah,
naivete.
I think she did really good. I think she seemed like she was a new person in this space, but she had just gone through the training and stuff. And I like to watch her throughout because, you know, they like meet every morning to discuss every individual like sequence of things that happened through the day.
Yeah.
Debriefing or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they like do a little salute thing. And as the movie progresses, she stops reciting it with everyone else.
That's good.
And I thought that was really great because we got to watch her change her entire mindset on why she's there and what she's doing. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Good. Me personally, I refer to it as in my Letterboxd review, barely believable.
Okay.
Now, that's not a bad thing, though. Because let's talk about this. There's some actors out there where it's like, Kristen Stewart, not the best actress, but what she has and what some actors have is a charm to her that, again, it's particular. Like, there's some actors who appeal to just certain people. Like,
right.
And, like, there's some actors who I just don't get what the appeal is.
Sure, me
too. And everybody has that, so... Some people, like Kristen Stewart, just has that way about her where it's just like, you know, you're not the best actor, but I get you. And like, that makes me feel closer and like,
and you
we're
feel
connected.
Sort of relatable.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Like,
I think that's
I
what it is.
I feel like you're acting like a real person and not an actor.
That.
Which I
and
do
sometimes
like.
That's
sometimes
enough. It's
yes.
weird. Like, because sometimes, though, it pisses me off where it's just same. Like, oh, that's just you. Like, you know.
It
like,
just depends on the role, right?
It does.
Because like. She plays a kick-ass, like, stoner type person, like, in Adventureland. Like, she's perfect for that kind of a role.
Have you ever seen American Ultra?
Yes.
Damn it.
Oh, my God. It's so good. End of the world.
So good. Her and Jesse Eisenberg have great chemistry, period.
Such good chemistry, yeah.
They should
do movies together.
Yeah. Oh, shit. They've done 3 movies together.
Have they?
Fuck, yeah. Dude, they're like the new Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan.
Totally different genre, though.
Very different, though.
What is the third one?
It's called Cafe Society by...
Haven't seen that.
By Woody Allen. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yep, I get it.
Yeah. Wasn't that good anyway. It was all right. Okay. Cool. Okay, cool. And you do like Kristen Stewart. You're a fan.
Yes. Yeah. Most of the time.
Most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Ali, detainee 471, is guilty?
So that's a really hard call, right? In the beginning.
In the beginning.
So you have to remember, in the beginning, in the first scene, we see a man standing next to a table full of walkie-talkies.
Walkie-talkies or cell phones? Something like that.
Something.
Something. Yeah. Something shady. Like, they definitely...
Something
it's
shady
a very smart
was
scene to open with.
Happening. And we
Maybe.
Also saw...
Maybe. Yeah.
Right. And we also saw, you know, the towers collapsing, like 9/11. And then we saw him praying, and then we saw him captured, and obviously, like,
really good cold
beaten.
Open. Yeah, to shit.
We didn't see that, though. Yeah. That was really fascinating.
That was good. I'm glad. You know what? Good for them. Like,
We didn't need to.
We never got, like, a brutal beat. These prison movies always love to do that, you know?
Right.
Like,
I'm glad that we didn't have to watch that as well.
Yeah.
Because
they still got the point across. It was still, like, I still felt cringy and like, oh, God.
Like, but, you know. Like, I don't know. Even despite seeing that one scene, I just can't help but think he is innocent.
Yeah,
I don't
same.
Know.
It is tricky.
Like,
it's really
it
well constructed.
Really weird. Yeah, because you don't ever...
You could make the case where it's just like, well, I don't know. Based off that scene, he could be guilty. But then, in the end, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's the key is like, you don't really care because it's just like... Well, nobody should have to go through this. Like,
yeah, you should
you
just
go.
Put him in prison if he's guilty. You should, you know, like, prison would be better than this.
Right.
Like, this tiny confinement that they are living in, you know, these cages that they have to go in. Like, it's just, oh, my God. It's so
dehumanizing.
Awful. Yes, awful. But, like, I like to think that he wasn't guilty. And they made reference multiple times to them saying, like, oh, he's not guilty, but we keep
but
him
we
here.
Can't like and
yeah, we
here's
can't
the
let him
fuck
go.
Again the flaw in the system like well now you're tainted because you were at Guantanamo Bay so
for however many years
yeah,
he was there
so it doesn't look good so
right.
sorry like oh, you're not guilty. Sorry about that. But no, you
and I guess that. Like in real life, there is, you know, a previous detainee that is fighting right now to get them to like expunge this from his record because they found him innocent after all of that time.
Ooh, I wonder if it's the same guy, because this is kind of based on true events.
Right. And that guy does have Ali in his name as well.
Interesting.
But it's not his first name. So I don't know if it's like...
They might have drawn from it too.
They could have pulled a little bit, sure. Yeah. So, but that's happening real life right now. So that's kind of interesting.
Interesting. I'll have to look into that. That's cool. Harry Potter books play a part in this.
Yes, that's one of my connections.
with the recent controversy with author J.K. Rowling, how is this for you?
Well, I am a huge Harry Potter fan, mm-hmm. guys. Mm-hmm. It sucks when something you love so much comes from someone that has hate in their heart.
And from a, man, just a wrong point of view.
It just like... sucks so hard because J.K. Rowling was like, a feminist and like a woman who became a billionaire and like continuously gave away money to not be in that billionaire status, but to help people who needed help. Mm-hmm. And then to watch her spread hate is just like truly devastating for me because I really looked up to her a lot. She created this entire world of characters mm-hmm. that I like love so much. Yeah. And the queer community especially like loves Harry Potter yeah. and they relate to Harry Potter and they draw from Harry Potter's characters.
Yeah.
And they find things in their characters that they need, you know? So to me, it's like awful that J.K. Rowling ended up being such a disappointment.
Yeah.
But like a lot of, you know, the groups that I'm in on Facebook and stuff for Harry Potter and LGBTQ groups have said, like, take your love from the books. Don't give love to JK though.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Find the part in the book that you relate to and give it love, and it's okay to love it, you know, and it doesn't mean you love that person though.
It is that separation of art and artist.
Yeah.
I think we gotta get comfortable. I think there's definitely room for the other side too, where it's just like, no, but at the same time, like, you know, where the money goes, like that becomes a problem. And then we get into cancel culture and like, you know,
right.
Call it cancel culture if you like. It's consequence culture.
Yeah. If any of you like don't have Harry Potter books and you want to get them, like a good resource would be to like go to a used bookstore.
Or your friends probably have them.
Or your friends might have them. But like buying them from a bookstore isn't going
to. Try not to do that.
Don't buy them brand new. That's what I'm saying. Right. Get from the library and read them that way. Mm-hmm. You know.
Actually, for sure. Libraries. Yeah, man. Like, keep those alive. Yeah.
Right.
Nice.
Definitely.
Separate the art from the artist. Yeah. Like, if Harry Potter works for you, then
and
there
if you
go.
Like love Harry Potter like I do, and you still want to like express your fandom for it, go onto Etsy and like buy cool shit made from artists. And
because then you're supporting the artists.
Yes. Yeah. Don't go to like Universal and buy stuff from Universal. Nice. I mean, you might be tempted, but definitely get a butterbeer while you're there. Yeah. But don't, you know, buy merchandise from local artists or the artists online. Like, that's
just
a good
so
way.
Funny to me, like, this it just makes sense. Like, and frankly, it's like capitalism working in a way.
Yeah.
Like, where it's just like, well, if we're gonna do this capitalism thing, okay, fine. Like, I will put my money where it needs to go and take it away from where I don't want it. Like, it's your way of expressing yourself, right? So, there you go.
Right.
Fucking capitalism.
Capitalism.
What... So, on this subject... So, we kind of... We're talking about how... is Kristen Stewart believable as this or that? What role would surprise you for Kristen Stewart to take on? Like, what would be, like, a wild... It's like... What are you doing, Kristen Stewart? Like,
let me think about this for a second.
I know, like, because where's the line? Like, because then there's also the curious part of you where it's just like, I mean, I can't see her doing it, but God, I want to see it. Because she's, okay, let's see. She's played band person.
Right.
Like, she's played punk rock, which that works.
It did work. Yeah, I liked that movie.
I believe her in, like, mythical figure type stuff because she's played, like, a vampire type cat
yeah,
person.
I definitely don't think that she was.
She didn't do a good job.
Excellent in Twilight. Sorry.
Yeah. No.
I, as you've heard in previous, if you've listened, I was a huge Twilight fan, like massive, like could probably recite the first chapter of the first book to you if you asked me to. And so when the movies came out, you know, they were fine, but like it wasn't what I pictured, which I think is impossible to do anyways, right? But I think they could have picked, they could have cast everyone better except for Taylor Lautner was a great Jacob, in my opinion. And also, I really liked Billy Burke as Bella's dad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nice. He was great.
Kind of Tom Cruise looking.
That's Edward's dad.
Oh, right, my bad. Oh, yeah.
He was fine, right. But yeah. Bella's dad was better.
Yeah, he's cool. No, but what role? Yeah, so I'm
trying to,
she plays convincing stoner and stuff like this. Like, I couldn't see. And oh, she played Snow White. See, there we go. Medieval stuff, I just don't see.
Yeah, medieval stuff is weird. I also think, like, anything, quote unquote, like, girly, wouldn't work.
No, she's not Easy A girl.
She's not, and she's not like 13 going on 30 girl. She's not.
I don't want to see Kristen Stewart college movie. Depends on
could
her
be
subject.
Good.
Depends on
her major. Good, yeah. What's your major? You know, what I was thinking originally was like dance ballerina, but actually I think I would like to see that
a lot. To see that.
I think she would be fucking cool.
Wait, hold up a second. I'm writing a movie here. What's that fucking Cutting Edge with Kristen Stewart?
Oh my god. Oh, nice.
Woo. Actually, that's a little, because isn't she a girly girl? Ooh, it'd be an acting assignment
yeah.
for her. No, she plays the male part.
Ooh.
There we go. There it is.
Mm-hmm. The hockey player?
The hockey player. You fuck yeah. Now, there we go. That I can see. Now, she wouldn't be a good player by any means, but I could see Kristen Stewart like being like, no, I can fucking do it. It's like, Kristen.
So funny.
Okay, come on.
Yeah.
Cool. Sci-fi. What do you think? Kristen Stewart in sci-fi?
I think it depends on what world we're looking for, right?
Mm.
Star Wars, no. Mm. Star Trek, maybe.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, you're right. Yep. Star Trek, maybe. Yep. Star Wars, no.
No.
She kind of looks like Rey, but she ain't Rey.
Yeah, she couldn't. Sometimes just the way she speaks, and I feel her because I'm the same way. Like, it's lilted, and it's thought... thoughtful and
again
she pauses.
It's part of the charm where it's human,
it feels
humanizing.
Human
yeah.
Yes, it's the way I speak to people, but like that
you
would
could,
not fly in the Star Wars world.
Sometimes it cracks me up, but again, like, because she loves to
yes yes and sometimes it's not,
but sometimes, but it's real though, like it's authentic. It's not her like I was doing it,
right?
I don't think Kristen is doing it. It
right.
is happening for real for her. It's so it's just It's a judgment thing.
It is. There are some parts of Twilight that I hate it when she's doing that,
yeah.
though. So that's part of the problem.
Yeah, right.
But it's also part of her charm, so. But yeah.
Yep. Let's see. Do I have any more? One more, I think, here. Oh, this was Peter Sattler's first movie, the director.
Hmm.
Would you watch another movie by him?
I think it depends on what it is, but yeah.
So he does have another movie coming up, and it's about a brother and a sister relationship. The brother has to take in his sister, who is apparently schizophrenic or some
sort
of mentally challenged or whatever. I don't think that's the proper terminology anymore. Anyway. But yeah, I think their parents pass away, and he has to take her in.
I
stuff.
See.
So
yeah,
I think it's
going to
be more of a dramatic
really
piece. He seems like a guy who would do drama well, because this was a bit more dramatic.
It was, yeah.
He's a graphic designer done a lot of that type of stuff. What was it? He was a graphic designer on a lot of movies like Walk the Line, which we actually mentioned.
Yeah, we did.
That's kind of a connection
it
loosely
is.
To
it is.
Bohemian Rhapsody, very, very loosely.
Very loosely.
Black Snake Moan, which had Christina Ricci and Samuel L. Jackson in it, and the first of the new Star Trek movies. So he's a graphic designer, but then decided to do movies. Maybe that's why his shots are actually really well done. Like,
really
he knows how
well
to shoot.
Done. Did you know that this was filmed in 20 days?
That's crazy. Like,
and it
that's
was
pretty
filmed
impressive.
Chronologically.
That's really impressive. Like, yeah.
How insane is that? You don't hear about that, really.
No, because I would have thought that they would do all the parties, all the off-campus stuff,
later. Right.
Or, like,
no,
you know.
It was all filmed
interesting.
In 20 days and chronologically, which I thought
that
was
is really
fascinating.
Impressive. Yeah.
And I think that actually, for this instance, like, it really helped build their chemistry and connection.
Yeah.
Right?
And apparently, yeah, they rehearsed a couple of weeks together, which that shows 10 days. I really enjoyed their chemistry.
Yeah, it was great.
They were really working well together.
They did, yeah.
And he was great, too.
Oh, my God, so good.
Any other connections that you noticed?
Harry Potter.
Uh-huh, yep.
Hannibal Lecter.
Yep, right, yep. And Silence of the Lambs, yep.
Yep, mm-hmm. yep mm-hmm. I think that's... about it for cool. me.
We mentioned the Peter Sadler stuff. One last little connection I found here was John Carroll Lynch, who plays the Colonel Drummond, was in Shameless, the TV show. Yeah.
Shameless.
That Colonel Butthead.
Yeah. Ranstall?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was...
Or no, the Colonel, though.
Oh, the Colonel, the older guy.
Yeah, the older guy. He was... Yeah. He was a Colonel.
Colonel.
Sanders. Cool. It's the last. Okay, and then so yeah, the favorite questions.
Yeah.
I like that's what we'll call them. Yeah,
the favorite questions.
So yeah, favorite scene.
So for me, my favorite scene was the last scene.
Fuck yeah.
When he got his Harry Potter book.
Oh yeah.
Beautiful.
Big payoff.
Big payoff. Like the joy that he has on his face when he's been asking for this for 2 years. Like I can't. Ugh.
And I love how they keep cutting to him, like, because he can't just, like, first he lays the book down, but then it's like, no, I actually want to hold it. No, it's better down here. Like, you know,
yeah,
I would be this. I've been
so
that way with books,
lovely.
Where it's just
yes.
like, oh, I got to get the right angle. Like,
I have to know if Snape is a good guy.
You relatable, right?
Like, it is. And I told Josh, it's so funny because that's still, even after you read the last book, is, like, the question that all the fans argue
still debating
about.
Yeah.
People argue about this.
There
constantly.
Are strong cases for both sides. It
yeah,
sucks.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
And I, like, love Alan Rickman so much, too, that if you're talking about the movie, like, I can't separate him. And I'm like, no, he is a good guy. But if I'm reading the books, I'm like, sometimes he's a good guy and sometimes he's an asshole. You know?
Yeah.
But Alan Rickman, like, R.I.P., like, I love him so much.
Yeah.
He was the first person that I ever, like, cried about that wasn't somebody I knew that died.
Yeah. First celebrity cry.
Yeah.
Mine was Gene... Gene Wilder.
Oh, yeah.
Like, one of those where it's like, I remember where I was, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was in the middle of, like, Trader Joe's. Sorry, I'm bougie like that.
Yeah, so bougie. Aldi's for all you East Coast people.
But in Trader Joe's. And, like, I saw it, you know, as we do on our phones, and then just had to take a moment, just, like, knelt down and was like, oh, my fucking.
Yeah.
Not Gene.
Yeah, I was on the Max on my way to work when I heard about Alan Rickman, and it was like, oh, fuck. I have to go work old now.
Oh.
Like, it was
really
so
shitty.
Terrible.
Damn.
It was so terrible.
Always.
Anyway. But, yeah.
Okay, so favorite performance from a supporting character or characters?
Yeah, I feel like Ollie was, like, the standout performance here. You could argue, is a main character. Like,
could.
So I would say definitely probably Ranstall, which
unfortunately,
is...
Unfortunately, yes.
He's like, he's exactly the ass that you know that's in the military.
And he's got the look. Like, he's the full package.
It's
he's got the
full
look.
Package.
He's
yeah.
got the demeanor. Like, yeah, I would... He can play military. He can play redneck for sure.
Yeah, he did great. He did a good job. And he wasn't a likable character, but you also don't hate him.
Yeah.
You don't like him.
Not until the shit
the
in
shower.
The second half. Yeah.
And also I did not like, even after Ollie threw shit at Kristen Stewart's character,
yeah.
I did not like what they do to him all night long.
Oh,
to make,
no.
That
yeah,
was
dude,
like
that's
so fucked up. Like,
yeah.
to do that for days
Every
on
two
days
hours.
On days.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Torture.
So that was when I was really like, ooh, I really don't like you. And then the shower thing, I was like, this is so fucked up.
Fucked. It's fucked.
So fucked.
It's fucked, people.
So, but he did a good job making me, like, dislike that
yeah.
character. Ollie, though, was the best character and really made you
Damn
question
good.
A lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, had... All of his questions were so good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was great.
Yeah.
Good character. Good
would
actor.
Would you rewatch or recommend?
Probably would not rewatch.
It's pretty tough watch.
It's, yeah, it's especially, like, the suicide scene, we didn't even touch on that, but that was, like, oof.
Yeah.
Rough. Very, like, heart-wrenching and emotional.
That is kind of clunky for me. Like, her lion story it's just a little weak. Like, the metaphor is a little weak. I appreciate that. I know what they were going for, but you just it required a rewrite or something. Like,
yeah, it
different story.
Another
different
pass,
story.
Yeah. There was definitely...
Let the lion choose. Kristen, there's a lot of flaws to that. A
lot of flaws.
Lion choose.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought his character was really well done.
Yeah.
Because they, like... You know, she was just like, you know, you could be in, like, a much better detention center, like, if you would just behave.
But I like that. See, I'm on his side where it's just like, nope.
Love what he says.
It's like, no, I'm not going to follow your rules. Like,
then it shows they're valid and they're not valid.
Ugh.
And
yeah,
it's
man.
So good.
And
like,
this is why we protest. And this is why, you know, what's it called? Disobedience, Civil disobedience. It works. It's good. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
But it does take a lot of gumption.
It does. Yeah. So really, really.
I loved that. That was well done. That scene that shows you his logbook and just how many times, like practically
so
every day
good.
He's doing something
yes.
to stir some
shit up. Yeah.
Shit.
So oh, that was so gross.
Yeah, for sure.
So gross.
Not cool, Ollie. Like,
no. Know. No.
Okay.
Oh, but I would recommend it.
You would recommend
it. I would
it.
Recommend it.
Yeah, definitely to people who are like, you want to get the bad taste of Twilight out of your mouth, or you want to actually think that Kristen Stewart's a decent actor, watch this one.
Yeah, you want to have a different opinion. Also, I think it is important for people.
Like, it covers
like,
good subjects.
It does, and people don't know that these detention camps exist. We're all a little blind to it. A lot of people didn't know, you know, that the one in Guantanamo Bay existed and that it was run by the U.S. You know, and people were blind to it and they want to be blind to it. But I think that it's nice that this movie exists because it kind of shoves it in your face a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Faux show.
Faux show.
Awesome. Now we've come to the point. Oh, and out of 5 stars, what would you give Camp X-Ray?
3.
Nice.
3 out of 5.
Solid. Yeah.
Solid,
I think that's what I gave it, too. Solid 3.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what connects these two vastly different movies?
Tell us.
All right. So, do you have anything?
Nothing.
Okay. So, both feature characters from the, sorry to be so broad, but Middle East.
You're right.
But they are
that's
both
true.
From of Middle Eastern, you know, connection. And that's real. I thank God they acknowledged like that about Freddie Mercury. I had no idea. Like, raised British, but from like Egypt or mm-hmm. you know what? Or
yeah,
sorry,
he was from
Middle East. Yeah.
It starts with a Z, and I'm so sorry.
Zanzibar. Maybe. Okay, so both are based on true events, but both take a lot of liberties with those true
That's
events.
That's true, yeah. Look at you, finding all the things.
Both take liberties with their facts. Okay, this one is really broad, though. Both feature prisoners.
Okay.
You want to argue in the entertainment industry? I mean, aren't the artists just, you know... prisoners of their own image, like wasn't Freddie like a kind of a prisoner of his own self-image, like he could go there and it's like isn't sure. Ollie kind of the same thing, blah blah blah.
Okay.
Both feature this is like really loose but and small but still there. Both feature works of cultural significance. Bohemian Rhapsody, and then Harry Potter books in
Camp absolutely
X-ray.
That's true. Yeah. Very true.
Yeah. So there's your connections. Take that. We thought we screwed ourselves over, but
I
mean, I found them.
Look at you. Because I did not find those.
Nothing. Nope.
But now I see them.
Yeah. Nice.
Now I see them.
See, that's why we do it. And if you want to, like, I also try to post, like, if you liked this movie, you might like this movie on our Instagram, which is, by the way, at the Movie Connection.
The Movie Connection.
You can follow us individually.
I'm at Casey Schwartz.
Me at Jacobine Watson. But before we get to all of our media stuff, let's assign each other our movies.
You go first.
All right, Casey. I got one of my favorite movies of all time for you, and it is one of the funnest movies you will ever see.
Oh, God. The pressure is on.
Earth Girls Are Easy.
Ooh!
Earth Girls Are Easy. You can thank me later. You got to be get a little green friendly with it if you're into that sort of thing, because it definitely helps and it makes it fun.
Okay.
Yeah. What you got for me?
All right, I was going to assign you another, because it's Pride Month.
Oh well, by the time
it that won't episode be, airs, it yeah. won't be. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to assign you Greta Gerwig's Little Women.
Oh, shit. I knew this one was coming. Cool.
It is. I'm really excited.
And this is one of the ones that I've held off on watching.
Did I say your name right?
Greta Gerwig. Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. Little Women. Perfect.
Yeah, Little Women. Because yeah. That so is one little, of my holy favorite shit. Movies,
Once again,
you guys.
Like, these could not be more opposite in tone. Earth Girls Are Easy is an 80s movie musical fucking wild.
You know, I almost assigned you, and I actually don't know if you've seen it, but 13 Going on 30.
13 Going on 30. Hmm. Okay.
That might have
been
better.
A little easier to connect. I don't know. I think I'm going to have fun trying to find the connections.
No,
here.
And I like that we're both doing, like, because that is one of my favorite movies ever, and this is one of yours. So yeah, I like that we're going to throw these up against each other.
See, I love how these must look like when people scroll through their.
They're like, what the actual fuck?
Right. Oh, Bohemian Rhapsody and Camp. What the fuck is that? Camp X-Ray. What's that about? what even is that? Sweet. Oh, these are great.
These
great
are
things
great.
To be up against each other. All right, people. Well, yeah, we mentioned our Instagram. You can also. We have a Facebook page. That's going through some adjustments because they aren't letting us call it the Movie Connection for whatever reason.
I have tried to change the name four or five times, and each time it tells me
it's
that
inappropriate. Doesn't meet
no,
guidelines.
It's in progress, is what it keeps telling me.
Oh,
but
okay.
It won't change, so I don't know what's happening. I'll try again.
Yeah,
I'll
if
keep
all
trying.
Else fails, we might just have to make a group or something.
Right? Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. And then, yeah, you can listen to us on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. Please share us with your friends. Let them know about us. Give us a like, a subscription.
Five stars on iTunes.
Or Apple, wherever.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Well, stay safe, everybody. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, wait. What's that? Recommendations.
Oh, my goodness.
You guys, we almost said goodbye.
Yeah, hold on.
Okay, I'm ready.
I actually need to think of mine. So, Casey, what are you recommending?
I'm going to recommend for Pride Month, and it just came out on Hulu, the TV show Love, Victor. Season 2 just came out on Hulu. It's loosely... Did you ever watch Love, Simon?
No, but I've heard great things, and people are
good. Don't watch
highly
it.
Anticipating Love, Victor.
Yeah, don't watch it yet.
Oh.
It's on your list. So, that's
it's a
good.
Movie. I thought it was a show.
Love, Simon is a movie. Mm-hmm. And then Love, Victor. So, Love, Simon is a movie that's based on a book. Fantastic book. Fantastic movie. They did an excellent job. And then this show was supposed to be on Disney Plus. Disney, acquired the rights to Love, Simon. And they were like, oh, we're going to make this show that's set in the same universe. Mm. That Simon was in, but Simon's off at college.
But Simon's not in it. Okay.
Right. He appears in a couple of episodes.
Right. That's cool.
But yeah, it's just the story about this kid figuring out his sexuality.
Nice.
And he is Hispanic or Latino.
Mm.
And he nice. Has to come out to his super Catholic parents.
Damn.
And so he's tries to date a girl, and there's a lot of stuff involved in this, and a lot of people involved, and a lot of heartbreak, and also beautiful storytelling. And season 2 is excellent. Season 1 was so good, and season 2 is so good.
Great.
It's a great show. Yeah.
So
I really like
it.
Called? It's called Love, Victor.
Love, Victor. Check it out, guys.
Check it
out. Where's it available?
It's on Hulu, because Disney decided...
Is it an original series?
Yes. Disney decided that they couldn't do it, so...
But it still did... Anyway.
Yeah. So they gave it to Hulu, but
because
Hulu is Disney.
Because Hulu takes whatever Disney doesn't want to have associated with Disney.
Right.
Even though anybody who looks at it knows that it's owned by Disney. It's so stupid.
Yeah. There was one scene in this season 2 that I was like, they definitely could not have done that on season 1. or on season two or one on Disney Plus.
Uh-huh.
So, like, in that way, I was like, oh, it's kind of good.
They made a boner joke on Disney Plus. They're killing people on that streaming service.
Anyways, it's on Hulu, you guys. It's a Hulu original series. It's excellent. I think each season is, like, 8 or 9 episodes. And I just think that it's really, really good.
Nice. I'm recommending a podcast.
Podcast?
It's called Pure Cinema Podcast. It has two... main reason I'm... assigned to it is it's got two long ass interviews with Quentin Tarantino. Like, some of them are several hours long, so
that's awesome.
But there's a lot of good directors on there, and yeah, looks like a it's a good podcast. Check
very
it out.
Cool.
And yeah, so awesome, everybody. Got all our media information. Also, do check me out on Letterboxd. I am there as Jacobine Watson, all one word. Yeah. I am frequently on there reviewing movies. I watch movies all the time, so I'm always reviewing them. I mean, for instance, this week, I mean, you got just some examples. Shot in the Dark, Return of the Pink Panther, X-Men First Class, In the Heights, Runaway, that Tom Selleck movie. Man, you check
was
that
it
shit
a clusterfuck?
Out. Perfect Blue, The Mothers, which was amazing. And yeah, so check out that and give me a follow if you like.
Yeah.
All right, now we are officially heading out. Get out of here. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.